The name of the triune God, Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We quieten ourselves for a common prayer for these Sunday morning services with the words of a psalm writer. Dear Father, now when morning has come, I bring thank you that you gave us sweet sleep last night, and also all my loved ones you preserved, and you walked together with us, and you gave us your peace, and you let the morning come after the dark night, and you let the morning sun conquer overnight. Let us walk in your path, and I would always follow your will. Now when we come before your word, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, bless this service day and open your word according to your will. Hear us, dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For common study, I thought to read from the Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. And this word are in Jesus' name as follows. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David my father and made me king in his place. Now, Lord, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead these people, for who is able to govern these people, this great people of yours." God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, just as no king would have before you ever had, and none after you will have." Amen. We live in a time that summer is beginning to end, and autumn is ahead of us, with a different kind of things to come. And I think especially you youth, schools are beginning, at least in my hometown, next week, and universities and other the vocational schools are starting in a couple of weeks. And you, especially you farmers, I know that it's time of work is ahead of you. There's many things to do in farm fields. And those who do kind of normal work, I remember that after summer holiday, after holiday there were new projects and new difficulties, and that were ahead of us. But also in the work of Zion, after these big services, the normal schedule returns. When we think of these last couple of years, for example, five last years, we have lived in a very peculiar time. First, there was a little virus. It turned the whole world upside down. It affects on societies and church and the work of Zion. Many worldwide events wasn't being able to be held. For example, Olympic Games had to be postponed due to COVID. I was back there working in the church. It was a very difficult time, as it was in the whole of society. The society kind of like paralyzed. People got used to do remote work, and children were homeschooled. Confirmation school was also done remotely. I remember when I was doing Zion's work during 2 years. I was part of the summer service prepare. And during 2 years, we had to prepare for summer services. And when we prepare for Zion's work, many times after we have done our designs, we pray that thy will be done. And we can say that if God sees fit, his will be done and there will be summer services. For these summer services that I was able to be part of, they were supposed to be here in Reisjärvi. First, they were held by the SRK remotely from the headquarters of SRK. And the next year, the summer services were held remotely from here, Reisjärvi opisto, through summer service radio and over the internet. But afterwards, I think there was purpose. There was God's own purpose. But during those years, especially that latter year, we had to implement new technologies that we already have, that we hadn't really used before. The first services that were held over the summer service radio, but during the second year, services over the internet were very successful, and there were a lot of listeners over the internet. We can say that there were multiple times more people than on the normal summer services. God worked such ways that we had to implement these new technologies that we have even today. we have this site Kingdom of Peace. It brings God's word to ends of the world. There might be even tens of millions listeners to or watchers to our sermons there. So God led his kingdom during these times. And the secondly, that has been after 10 years of peace here in Europe, we were woken up that in our region there's a war. That war is still going on. Throughout history there has been war. But here in Europe we got used that wars don't affect us. But now we have to be faced that war affects even our nation. And even in our nation we have had to think about security, and it has affected many things of life. Nowadays our eastern border has been closed for a long time. Hopefully it can be reopened in quick schedule. So God leads these things. Many times gospel during these times like these has gospel has spread, and we know, and the word of gospel has spread across the world, and work of God's kingdom, gospel's work, is done in many continents, that places that we couldn't even fathom that there could be believers there, and people have found gracious God. This text takes us to a time when young Solomon had just been chosen as the king of Israel. As here in text, many times we heard God had led things to be so. Choosing of Solomon wasn't certain, even though he was son of King David and his wife Bathsheba. David had promised before that Solomon will be king. David had many sons. David promised that Solomon will be king after him. Solomon's older brother Adonijah tried to, before Solomon was crowned, he tried to crown himself a king. Solomon's mother Bathsheba Nathan stepped up and went to King David and told King David. Then King David remembered his promise, and Solomon was crowned king of Israel. In the first Kings, at the end, it's told how David groomed young Solomon, and he prayed for him, for Solomon. As parents, we always hope that our children will be successful in life. And especially believing parents pray for their own children, especially that they would be preserved in faith. But we don't only pray for our believing children, but I think those children that have leaven faith, they are especially the children of prayer. If there is someone listening who has left faith, who has given up this most precious gift and treasure, it's important to remember and know you You are a child of many prayers. This young Solomon was a believing youngster. After he had been crowned, he went to, together with the leaders to Gibeon. At that, during that time, there was a temple tent, and they went there to give burnt offering to God. In the previous chapter, it says that Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of the meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. During that time, they lived a time of offering service. Our text begins when during night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Isn't this God's offer feel overwhelming? A dream. Sometimes in fables, like some genie asks something that tells us to ask something and he will give. It's like something like this here in this text. It might raise some questions in Solomon's mind. He might think, what might happen to me if I ask this or that? But this text shows us Solomon felt that he wasn't worthy before this monumental task that been set before him. Isn't this familiar feeling before troubles in life? I think even before these works in the God's kingdom. As servant of the word, I know that you, speaker brothers, you in your own place know you feel yourself unworthy and poor and unknowing and etc., etc. We feel ourselves unworthy though. But we want to be. We want to do what God wishes us to do, and we do this work with God's blessing. And Solomon continues. Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over people who are as numerous as dust of the earth." Then Solomon prayed to God that he would keep his promise that he had made to his father King David. In First Chronicles, it's told how David ruled and prospered. He noticed that there wasn't a temple built for God. There was only tent in the tent of meeting Gibeon, and he thought that he will start building a temple for God. Then God told through King Nathan. God told through Nathan to David that he will not build the temple. It was told that his son Solomon will
complete this temple. I think Solomon also knew this. God's promise that had been given to his father David. As King David, we as people, many times, we hasten to do things in advance. Even when we pray to God, we would like that things would come to pass at this right exact moment in the way we want it to happen. But it isn't so. God has his own time. During this time of exile, God encourages his people through Prophet Jeremiah. God told that he had his own plans for his people. My thoughts are thoughts of peace, not destruction. And God also promised that he will give you hope and future. This is the way how we can also see this world. And this is the way how young Solomon looked through eyes of faith that God led his life. God leads our life even today. Or all jobs that have been given to us, they have been seen fit by God. I remember when I was a young boy and I was able to spend one winter here in Opisto. We were in this boys' dorm. As teenagers, our life was ahead of us. Most of us haven't even done our conscription service, and we thought, what might become of us? What will we should study? We were kind of troubled of these things. But when I remember one thing before, God miraculously led our lives. In my own life, I've been able to experience how God has given me to main occasions in life. I encourage you, dear youth of today, you can pray God strength, wisdom, and skills. You can go before God with mind of prayer, and God will lead your life. As we can see in this Solomon's part, during all trials of life, we have even this autumn schoolwork, study, farming. In this science work, when we begin our normal schedule, there are many duties, and when we are asked to perform duties, it's important to remember when it's very when a brother or sister comes and asks to can you do this or that, it's important to remember it is God who through this brother or sister who has to do our part in God's, in Zion's work, that we wouldn't give up to the enemy of souls, temptation, who says that you have no skills or mind to do these tasks. And we can also remember that God leads His work in Zion. Here Solomon asks David, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people who is able to govern this great people of yours. Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge that he could lead this great people. There's this reference to the fourth book of Moses, and after Moses, leader for nation of Israel was chosen. The leader has to be someone who can lead people in all things they are done. Otherwise, the nation of God will be like a sheepflock without herder. God was a God of order. And this young Joshua was chosen to be leader of the nation of Israel. And Joshua led Israelites across Jordan to the promised land. And nation and Judea was divided by different tribes of Israel. So this is how God led his people back then. Solomon also wanted to perform his duties with best way he could. His timidness, and he knew that with his own power he couldn't perform this task. His own strength wasn't enough. This is very common for us, and we know that our own strength isn't. We can perform our task with our own work. With only our own work, we need God's power, and we also need the gospel's power. Don't we want to perform our temporal duties or congregation duties in the best way possible? We can pray as Solomon prayed for wisdom and knowledge for our duties. The letter to Colossians chapter 3. Many times during wedding ceremony, Paul tells us to do our duties as we would do them to God, not to people. As we do our duties this way, it is done the best way we can. As we want to do our duties the best way we can, God many times blesses this work. But sometimes we have to realize that even though we do our best, things haven't gone the way we thought. During those times, we have to be content with God's will. As we read in the, we don't have to be ashamed that when we tried our best in work life or school, when we have done our work best as we would have done it to God, and if we have prayed for knowledge and wisdom from God, we don't have to be timid about things like this. Then God answered to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor asked for long life, but his wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king." Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, honor, such as no king has before you ever had, and none after you will have. This is God became pleased with Solomon's request. It was, there was no greed that is present in our time, which is very common during our time. Selfishness is very abundant during our time. When Solomon asked for things that we might think is temporal, he didn't ask for temporal blessing. He didn't ask things that were important to him personally. God promised to fulfill Solomon's request and given even more. If we read Bible further, God fulfilled his promise that he had given to Solomon. He gave him wisdom and knowledge, riches and wealth and honor. And from Solomon's wealth, we can read from the Bible in the book of Parables, in the Proverbs. But even in our time, there's very common saying, we speak of Solomon's judgment. Here it's told what Solomon's judgment is. And shortly after he had began his reign as king, two women came before him, harlots, who were living in the same house, in the same room. One had given birth to a child, and other gave birth to a child 2 days after. And a couple days later, the other mother slept over the child, and the baby was suffocated, and the baby died. It was a very terrible thing, the child died. This one who realized her child was dead and there was a living child, she took that living child for herself and put the dead child next to the other woman. Right away, the other woman realized that this dead child isn't her child. That this has to be the child of the other woman. They start to fight over this thing and they go before the king. King Solomon asked for his servant to bring a sword. "I will cut this baby in, this living baby in half, and one will have one half of this baby." The woman whose baby had died, she said that, "Let's do this way." But the real mother of this baby said, "Absolutely not. We will divide this baby, spare this baby." Then King Solomon said, "You are the mother of this child, because mother's love was shown in her." This is how Solomon wisely judged this situation. But from Solomon, we also know a little bit further, we know that how he reigned, his people became wealthy and the nation became strong. He built this temple. After guidance from God. And he also built a great palace for himself, and God appeared to Solomon again and told Solomon to be obedient to God's word. But Bible tells how in the end for Solomon the things don't end well. During good times he takes wives from nations that worshipped false gods. Of those gods that God had warned Solomon, he didn't obey God's guidance. From Solomon there wasn't a witness, even though his reign lasted as long as his father's David, 40 years. After, when he died, it's all written that Solomon slept away. God wasn't pleased with this false god. And about a couple of generations, the nation of Israel was divided. There wasn't a witness that his soul was worthy to God. This portion of the Bible shows us how our duties are given by God. Even those greatest leaders, even this time, their duties are from God. And God has decreed duties for our own lives that we are able to do. And also, all wisdom and knowledge comes from God. That can we also pray. But it also shows that sincere prayer is what is sincere prayer, how it has much power. Also shows that everything that we have is gift from God. And the most important thing is the gift of faith. And that is the most important prayer even this day, that we would be preserved as believers. Our most important prayer for us believers is that we would personally stay believing. And I also want to thank you, leader, who might be here in tent or this service area or over the radio, who you feel that you don't own this God's grace for yourself. You can play for God, that you could find graceful God. In the Bible, there's examples in the Acts of the Apostles. I think I spoke of this in the last sermon I held. How this Roman centurion Cornelius prayed to God. God heard his promise and sent Peter, who proclaimed through after merit works of Christ all sins forgiven. Same like this servant from Ethiopia, from whom he had heard before, who was on a prayer travel to Jerusalem, and he was able to meet believing Philip, who proclaimed he described Bible to him, and he also proclaimed gospel to him, and both Cornelius and this Ethiopian man was baptized. God hears our prayer. Even today we can remain believing. When we are in this 70-year anniversary services of I want to remember dear brother Hannes Kamula, who was working here in Opist. I remember how Hannes, after his sermon, said that it's only about believing. It's so even this morning, you, my dear brother and sister, over the radio, you who haven't been able to come to services, in your own doubts and temptations, in your lonely place of watching, you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. And you listener who are not partaker of this grace, wherever you might be and listening to this sermon, you can also, from this sermon, you can believe all your sins forgiven, even the unbelief, in Jesus' name and atonement blood. But with many temptations and doubts, I also ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? This, I promise to believe together with you. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. All sins forgiven. All sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. All sins forgiven. We live in the blessed security of God and His Word. Amen.